And this is Yusuf Nuruddin. We're from the Brecht Forum New York Marxist School. Yusuf is the co-chair of our board of directors, and I'm with the program committee. We're very happy to welcome you here to this forum, Progressive Media at the Crossroads, a chance to meet the candidates and talk about the upcoming election. And this forum is sponsored, is organized by the WBEI Justice and Unity Campaign, of which you'll hear more later, along with the other slates that are here, as well as the independent candidates. I think I'm not going to go over a long introduction, because Yusuf and I know that you know about the role of WBEI in Pacifica and why it's important, particularly in these difficult times, with the war, the Patriot Act, racial profiling, the prison industrial complex, that it's a vital resource tool for all of us in New York City, and that it's something that needs to be strengthened, and that this next phase of the governance of WBAI, which involves listener elections, is a key part of strengthening that process, something where the listeners who support the station, participate in the station, as well as the staff people, get to vote, to choose the new board, and to take part in the life of the station in yet another way. So here tonight, you'll be hearing from candidates who've come here. All the candidates were invited to participate, and we hope, in addition to the candidates who we're very happy to see here, that additional candidates will be showing up throughout the evening. There are a number of questions that will be addressed in a little while, but let me tell you about the overall format for this. Also, I should say that this candidate's night is being hosted by the Brecht Forum in solidarity with WBI as a whole. The Brecht Forum does not take a position in things like this or in this election, but is very much concerned with having everyone have a chance to discuss the crucial issues in the process. The format for this is that the event is not officially sponsored by the WBEI local election supervisor, and its goal is to stimulate a deeper discussion of certain key issues than is possible in the official candidate forums. The main part of the evening will be an open discussion of two or three key political questions, which I'll read later. Each of the four slates, which are an unnamed slate convened by Gary Null, the People's Radio Group, the LISPROG, and Justice and Unity, have been invited to choose two spokespeople to be on these panels, and they can switch between panels. Each of the people on the panels will have about 4 minutes, unless we run out of time, for opening remarks to introduce themselves. Then a moderator, with Yusuf will lead an open discussion, calling on anyone in the audience, a candidate or not, who wants to raise questions. And then the panelists will have time to respond. Before and after the panels, we have a chance for all the candidates who are not on the panels to address us for some time. The people who are from slates will have 1 minute, because their slates will also be on the panels. The independent candidates who are not on slates will have 3 minutes. So we really look forward to this discussion, and this discussion is something that we all, you know, want to hear from each other on. There are a few ground rules, which we always have at the Brecht, and it's a question of self-respect, that's respecting each other as well as self-respect, that we want to listen to each other. We don't want to interrupt each other. We want to stick to the time limits, which I will be enforcing, so that everyone can talk. We should show basic respect. We shouldn't, you know, curse each other out, although, of course, there will be controversy, which is fine. And we should observe, and I think we will observe, as we always do in calling on people, gender and community racial balance, to make sure that, for example, there's not 10 men that speak before a woman gets to speak or whatever. So we want to make sure that you're all going to get to speak in the time that we have available. And we'd like to say that even though the discussions sometimes get heated, as they will, and they definitely, you know, should, we want to understand that we're all on the same radio station, and we're going to have to work with each other after this election and in the station, so we should keep that in mind, even as we, you know, bring out the differences as well as the unities we have.
So I would like to begin this by calling up the first round of candidates, and those include Diane DeVoe.
No. She's on the. Is she? Wait. She's on the
panel. Okay. I'm sorry, Joshua Walensky. Your handwriting.
Evan Tobias,
Ann Boylan, Chris Farrell.
Let me ask, is Chris Farrell on the slate? Okay, so not you. Okay.
Zara Khan.
No, not Zara Khan.
Okay.
Sorry, the process. So, okay. Yeah, it's Joshua Walensky, Evan Tobias, Ann Boylan, Ray LaForest, and Rachel Barr. I'll tell you how many you get, once you start. The ones of you that are on slates get 1 minute. The ones who aren't on slates get 3 minutes. No, this is just for statements. Sorry, this is just for statements. There's no questions in this part. Yes. Huh? Yes, come up. Okay, people can sit here, too. There's more chairs over there.
Hey, Josh. You said independents get three?
Yeah, independents get three. People on slates get one.
Hold on, 3 minutes.
I'll just mark which are this.
Okay.
This.
Hi, I'm Joshua Walensky, and I'm running for the local station board. My vision for WBAI in Pacifica is greater outreach, diversity, and more creative methods of fundraising. In my opinion, these three elements will make us peace and justice radio. As former treasurer of the Friends of the 59th Street Recreation Center, I helped raise millions of dollars to build a new outdoor pool on the Upper West Side, which will open in the year 2005. I deeply desire an official code of conduct for WBAI's listeners and staff. With 50,000 watts, the World Wide Web, and our current professional staff, I am convinced WBAI can reach its greatest potentialities yet. I can be contacted at 212-873-1954 or at WBAI99@AOL.com. Now, it's nice to talk a good talk and walk a good walk, but what specific things would I and am I want to work for? Well, first of all, I want to revive the folio. We're sitting here in a Brett Forum, and it's a shame we don't have a folio. If we had a folio, we could have terrific presentations of all the candidates, and our listeners and our candidates would not have to be so confused. We could also have up-to-date information about all the struggles for social justice. And the shame is that in the past we did it. So I'm for reviving the folio. I'm for outreach to all the college campuses in and around our listening area. There should be WBAI clubs. The Friends of WBAI should be on every campus within the New York, within our listening area. There's no doubt about it.
Time.
Okay. So thank you. 873-1954.
I have a point of information, and that is that there is a folio which is included in the Brett Forum calendar, and it's mailed out quarterly.
It should be complete, though,
okay.
Just as everything the Bush administration does in its mind is complete. It should be complete and to the point, and what we have now is not.
The next, okay, Evan Tobias is the next candidate who'll speak.
I'm Evan Tobias. I'm a 26-year-old educator, a musician, an activist. I'm a founding member and the webmaster of the Rockland Coalition for Peace and Justice, which is in Rockland County. I'm a music teacher. I'm very excited to run with the Justice and Unity Slate to ensure diversity of voices on our airwaves. I'm looking forward to working together with both listeners and the board members, helping DEI evolve as an educating, organizing, and mobilizing hub of the tri-state area. I'd like to reach out to all the progressives in the area to expand their listenership, to contribute to creative fundraising ideas, to contact youth and bring more youth to the station, to connect the various communities and individuals with BAI as a nexus for bringing different individuals and communities together for local and global struggles. I'll bring creativity, energy, and openness to the ideas of the listeners and the feedback from the listeners to work together to build BAI into a top resource to achieve peace and social justice everywhere. I'm with the Justice and Unity Slate. You can reach me at evbai@rocklandaction.org. Thank you.
The next candidate who will speak is Ann Boylan.
My name is Ann Boylan. I'm a clinical social worker and an 1199 union delegate and member of the 1199 Peace and Justice Committee. I've been a Latin American solidarity for many years, lived for a year as a volunteer in Nicaragua in 1988 to 1989. I'm running with the Justice and Unity Slate because I'm in agreement with its principles, its commitment to inclusive programming and affirmative action throughout Pacifica, its desire to expand WBAI's outreach and make it more involved in encouraging the organization of a mass movement, its commitment to transparency and decision-making and budget. Fundraising is a priority, and I, as the members of my slate, if elected, would immediately act to create a committee to develop short- and long-range solutions. I'm also very excited to be on this slate. I consider it...
Pun.
Shoot.
1 minute.
Ray LaForest is our next candidate to speak.
Good evening. I know most of you here. My name is Ray LaForest. I'm currently on the, I was until a few days ago, technically, I guess. I'm a member of the local advisory board, and I'm a member of the interim national, Pacifica National Board. Basically, I would say that we are in a dire circumstances. This code is history, and which makes Pacifica and WBI's role in helping save this country from neo-fascist forces the more important. I'm running as part of the Justice and Unity slate, and I think that what I have to offer is experience from the community. Until recently, I was in the National Coordination for Mumia Abu Jamal. I'm a co-governor of New York City Labor Against the War.
Time.
And my number is 646-294-7952.
Rachel Barr is the next candidate to speak.
You have 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Rachel Barr, and I'd like to thank everyone for coming out on this really... My name is Rachel Barr. Can you hear me now? Hate to quote Verizon, but... I'd like to thank everyone for coming out on this freezing cold night. I've been a listener and now voting member of BAI for over 20 years. And the reason or reasons why I believe I would be a good member of the local station board, if elected, is because for 10 years I volunteered at BAI, mainly for the current program director, until 2 years ago when some producers and others say a silent coup occurred in the station and helped out other staff as well as the current program director, helped out other staff members as well, and also ran the tally room during fundraising drives, and got to know many aspects of this radio station: technical, budgeting, hiring, job postings, premiums, marathons, programming, producing, FCC regulations, and many other aspects. Most importantly, perhaps, at this time, fundraising. Due to my unique knowledge of what goes on behind the scenes at BAI and Pacifica, I believe that I can offer a unique perspective. In addition, I believe that I would also make a good LSB member because I have knowledge of certain things listeners are not told about, even on the monthly report to the listener. Also, I believe that in addition to keeping BAI going with money, there needs to be a program for children by children as well as a program for older adults, and a program which deals with other issues other than the education program on tonight, by the way, that deals with adults, and a program and done by programs taking turns as some do now, cyclically in the programming. We sometimes hear by the current PD that there is not enough weekly time, but if programs take turns, this is easily remedied. I also have many other ideas about how the station can raise funds without this costing the station money. I am 43 years old, I am a teacher of young children, and I have done volunteer work for Democracy Now!, used to live in Cuba, and when I lived there, did work for the shortwave radio station there, Radio Havana, Cuba. I am bilingual in Spanish, and with the help of Robert Knight, reported live from Cuba the day that Elian Gonzalez came home. Don't forget to vote. And I was at this. How much more time do I have?
You have almost a minute.
Thanks. I was at the station yesterday recording a candidate's card, as all candidates are doing, that are supposed to be start playing Monday, even though fundraising is beginning Monday. And I was very upset to learn that even though we're not hearing carts that the station needs money, the station needs money, which assumedly one could surmise that the station is doing better financially, it's normal practice that a week prior to fundraising, the carts are in play, give money, give money. I heard that there are two people from the news department who may very possibly get laid off by the end of January because of lack of funds. So I just wanted to make those listeners aware. If you want to talk to me, I'll give you my voicemail, my email at the end. Okay? Here's the mic.
Okay, thank you, panelists.
Thank you.
We will hear from the rest of the people who've signed up after the panels, so we're not forgetting about you.
What we're going to do now is we're going to call up two candidates from each of the four slates. The four slates are List Prague, Justice and Unity, People's Radio, and an unnamed slate, which is convened by Gary Null. So if I can have two representatives from each of those slates come up, please. Yes. Just the slates. Okay, I'll ask the question, and then I will ask for people in this order. The first slate will be List Prague.
No.
Unnamed slate from
Gary.
Okay, reverse. Okay, all right. The first question is: what role should community radio play in educating the public and giving voice to the various movements to build for social change? I'll repeat that. What role should community radio play in educating the public and giving voice to the various movements to build for social change. I'll first ask for statements from the unnamed slate convened by Gary Null, if there's a representative here.
Okay.
In that case, then we'll move on to candidates from People's Radio. Are there members from that slate here? No. Okay, then... Nobody from People Radio? People's Radio here? Okay. Justice and Unity, then?
Liz Prague.
You got this all.
My handwriting is bad.
From Liz Prague.
Right. Speak for how long first?
You speak for 4 minutes each.
About what we think
about the first question.
First question, again, is what role should community radio play in educating the public and giving voice to the various movements to build for social change? You have 4 minutes.
My name is Patty Heffley, and I'm a member of the Listeners and Stafford Progressive Elections at WBAI. I've been a listener since 1988, and I was a plaintiff in the listeners' lawsuit that brought the elections to Pacifica. I've been involved in a lot of groups. I have some of my biggest efforts are to reclaim public space through actions and groups like Reclaim the Streets and Critical Mass Bike Ride and other such things. I find those movements to be exciting, growing, fun. And I've met a lot of interesting people there. I think that's something that I find is kind of missing at Pacifica right now. Exciting, fun, interesting, growing. I'm not really sure what movement there is right now, actually, to even grow. The anti-war movement's been somewhat... since the way the government operates has squashed it over and over again. You can see here tonight, there's not much of a movement here tonight. Most of us here are candidates. This is all very troubling to me. I think that how the radio station should be, I think that we should... I think that what has to become most important is the introduction of increased debate and discussion. Enough rhetoric, enough telling people what they ought to think, how we should behave, what we should do, where we should go, what's wrong, what's right, what not to think, what narrow boundaries one should have, you know, how... You know, you should be even a certain color right now. I find this all completely offensive, and it is not growing a movement anywhere. Have a look. I think the more debate and discussion about the race issue, about the how people are segregated still, how you have groups that are either of color or white more and more and trying to pull people of color into groups, and people try really hard, and I guess we're doing it wrong or something. That should be the debate. That should be the discussion on the radio, and it should be a big one, and it should be a long one. Maybe it should be every Sunday for 6 hours until it gets figured out. Enough of this telling people what to think, what to do, how to behave, how they're bad for being white, how they're bad for being racist, how they're bad for being not racist, how they're more unracist than somebody else. This is not growing a movement. And until that discussion stops happening, and until there becomes a discussion between the people that are injured, between the people that need to build a broad mass movement about these problems and the segregation that is still occurring, there will be no movement. And WBAI, with a 50,000-watt station, and to be able to reach this many people, and all these five stations across this country, if they'd stop the rhetoric and get busy about talking about to the people that are hurting and hurting between each other, we might have an opportunity. But this just telling people what to do is not going to build anything.
Thank you.
Okay, I assume we have a second candidate here from Liz Prock. And I'll repeat the question for your convenience. What role should community radio play in educating the public and giving voice to the various movements to build for social change?
Hi, my name is Bertolt Reimers. I'm a candidate from Liz Prock. I'm a Marxist, proud to say. I've been a member of the Bread Forum on and off for the past 15, 20 years. And as I said, as a Marxist, I believe in class analysis, of which there are none at WBAI. It's more about identity politics. The question is, what role should our community radio play in educating the public? The first question we should ask is, what is community radio, and what is free speech radio? Is WBAI community radio or free speech radio? We have a treatise on this. If there's enough copy, you can take a copy. It was a four-hour discussion we conducted about 3 years ago. Basically, community radio, WBI should educate, not talk to the listeners. The concept of Lou Hill and all those founders, and which should not be static, by the way, it should evolve. But basically, the concept was that you'd have a free exchange of ideas. Actually, I was told that Lou Hill, they used to have programs in the past where people would just discuss issues, and the discussion would go on and on and on until the discussion was over. And sometimes you'd have dead air time because they had no producers. So, I mean, I'm not advocating such extreme, but I believe that the soundbite, the commercial format that BA has adopted has become untenable. The programming has been dumbed down, and I say it, I'm almost proud to have invented that word. It's been dumbed down. Example, there's a two-hour special on the Greenwichian Revolution, and all the discussion was about was, yes, you know how they really messed up that revolution, and then the revolution really brought all oppressed people together. There was no discussion about the objective and subjective condition that brought about the revolution and that brought about the fall of the revolution. The political and socioeconomic aspects of the situation, you know, and the historical situation of Grenada versus the rest of Latin America. And I had a long discussion with Don Rojas, and then he agreed with me, and he was on the show. I also wrote a paper on the Grenadian Revolution. There's no class consciousness at BAI, none whatsoever. It was uttered by Don Rojas, the general manager, and it was also reflected by a bunch of listeners at our producers at a producer meeting. So what should we do? First of all, I believe that there should be discussions. We should bring, you know, the other side, our opponent, point of view to the table. What should be progressive about WBAI's programming? It should not be the guest. I mean, even though maybe you should start, you know, the deck with more progressive people, as we see it, than a conservative. But the progressive aspect of programming at BAI should really be the way the question is asked of the listeners, and how much time is given to the situations. I'm from Haiti, and I'm very disappointed in the way WBAI, including Amy Goodman, whom I appreciate a lot, have covered Haiti. You know, there's always one source, the owner of Haiti Progress, a newspaper whom I like a lot. They have a very Marxist perspective. But, you know, there are even more progressive leftist grassroots organizations, and there are other points of views that should be discussed. BAI is not doing that. And I find myself listening less and less to WBAI. There should be surveys. I mean, I should not come out and say what role should WBAI play. I think we should ask the listeners. You know, we should talk to the listeners about the role of WBAI. Thank you.
Okay, we have two candidates from the Justice and Unity slate, and they also have 4 minutes each to answer the question. I'll repeat the question again. What role should community radio play in educating the public and giving voice to the various movements to build for social change?
Is it 4 minutes?
4 minutes.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Zara Khan, and I'm on the Justice Unity slate. I want to just briefly say a few things about myself and then jump into the question because I think it's relevant. I'm a student at Hunter College and a member of SLAM, the Student Liberation Action Movement, which is a women of color-led organization fighting the budget cuts against CUNY to ensure that young people from working-class communities, poor communities, especially communities of color, have protected access to higher education. As a WBI listener, I know that this is the only station in our area that gives voice and value to a lot of the issues that affect our communities. And when I say our communities, I'm representing my community, our slate, and you can tell by looking at the histories and organizing of all the members on our slate, is extremely diverse in a very real sense, not in a tokenist sense that can be broken down just on race and, you know, things like that, but in a very real sense. I'm the only person equipped to represent my community. You know, myself and my community members are the only ones, and that is precisely the role of what a community radio station should fulfill, meaning that no one else can represent my struggle on my behalf. I cannot wait to be served. I cannot wait to be saved or represented. I have to do those things on my own. And that is really hand in hand with the position that our slate takes on establishing a model of inclusion. And I just want to explain that because I think that answers the question of the role that a community radio must play. A model of inclusion, which is not, you know, which does not give tokenist airtime to, you know, certain communities or people of certain groups, aims to tear down the barriers of institutionalized racism, which does exist, of sexism, classism, homophobia, ableism, that prevent powerful structures from truly reflecting our communities. Issue-oriented agendas have to span across different communities and map how people from different communities are affected differently. Diversity, not for the sake of diversity, but for truly respecting and learning from one another. And that is why I am running on this slate, in order to represent myself, my community, and other members on our slate are doing the same. So far as the role of community radio is precisely to give that voice. It is precisely to give voice and value. It is not to tell people what their issues are or push issues down people's throats, but to provide this free space for people to come and tell us, to educate us, one another, about what the issues are that affect them, that affect us. And thank you. Our website is www.justiceunity.org. More information about our slate's position and goals can be found on that as well. Can I get my phone number as well?
Yeah, it's time, so just give your phone number.
Okay, the telephone number is 212-591-2111. Thank you.
Thank you.
And for the last... candidate from the Justice and Unity slate. I'll read the question again. What role should community radio play in educating the public and giving voice to the various movements to build for social change?
I'm Muntu Massimilla, member of the Justice Unity campaign slate, running as a staff candidate. I've been a member of a WBI listener community for many years. I remember in 1980 when we were going to observe the ceasefire in Zimbabwe. I came to WBI to get press credentials, and I went with a number of radical activists from New York, January, February, March, to observe the death of Rhodesia and the creation of Zimbabwe, the election of a new independent government that reflected that long struggle there. So I've had a history with WBI primarily as a guest, because I've been involved in many struggles over the years, a variety of movements, human rights, civil rights struggles, political prisoners, housing movements, basically international and globalization struggles, which I'm currently involved in. I think that if you look at the creation of this slate, it goes back a couple of years, and it initially talked about the process of outreach, expanding the listenership, going into the community, and engaging people in a way that begin to build organic links and bridges to our communities that are disenfranchised, marginalized, nationally oppressed, historically oppressed, those that are struggling, have social justice movements, are engaged in real-life struggles in housing and healthcare, fighting crazy conditions in housing, education struggles, fighting privatization.
I mean, these are the struggles that our people are engaged in every day. So I would say that there clearly are movements out there. The real question is, what is our relationship to those movements, and how those movements can be greatly served by a progressive, independent, alternative radio station that WBI Pacifica has historically represented. I think the problem is that we have too much insulated thinking. We have a community that has become so inbred, if you will, that it sees nothing but itself. It sees nothing but a mirror of itself when it talks about WBI. So anytime you talk about expanding the process, going into broader communities that are actually engaged in struggle to and do what? In order for people to check out programming about WBI, they must first know that there is a WBAI. So you have to have progressive marketing. You must be able to go out into the community, inform people that there is a radio station where you can, in fact, get facts. You can get an alternative perspective. You can get truth. You can get a fighting chance based on information, education, agitation around these issues that they will not hear in mainstream radio. So we see that as a process that can begin with the local station board, particularly if the local station board comes from these communities, has organic ties from these communities, that are engaged in the struggles historically that our communities are engaged in. You have a local board that's diverse, that reflects the broad, diverse community of New York City and the metropolitan area, then in fact you can begin that process that enhances, that augments, that supplements, that complements the existing programs that you have in WBAI. There are a lot of things that can be done internally in the radio station in terms of improving programming. We see apprenticeships, training programs. We want to have community reporting, for example, where community teams are all over the community. They're in labor, they're in housing, they're in boroughs, they're at City Hall, and they report constantly about the day-to-day issues in these respective areas, bring them back to the station, and then get some very good quality radio where they can then get rebroadcast back into the community. At WBAI, I'm a coordinator for special events and programming, and I've had a lot of experience taking the radio station back into the community and, in fact, giving our community the opportunity to participate with the radio station right where they live, right where they struggle. And I think you have to have more of that, and that has to continue until we begin to see that, in effect, there's a much larger community that is willing and able to become a part of the WBAI family and community. The other thing I think is a necessity for left community development, that WBAI is part of a broader community process. Thank you very much.
Okay, our format will now allow for 10 minutes of questions from the audience to any of the panelists. I'll start over here with this lady.
I'm sorry, I don't know your name, but I heard you say that you listen to WBAI less and less. How do you decide if you're going to be a board member if you're not listening to the station to find out what's on? I keep WBAI on 24 hours a day because I need to know what's happening. I'm going to be a board member. I need to know what's happening there. How do you plan to be an effective board member if you don't even listen to the station?
Okay, I'm going to ask all the panelists to give 1 minute answers so we can hear.
Okay. Well, it's not difficult to monitor what's going on at WBAI. If I used to listen it 24/7 and change that to maybe 27, you know, it's very painful to listen to WBAI because there's no substance in what they are doing. Okay. We also have different people listening to shows and jotting down what they feel are not being done properly. And then if we feel that there are certain things to be pointed out, those individuals will direct us to listen to the show so that we can come up with a summary of what is wrong with WBAI. And we've been doing that for a long time. If ever you want to listen to anything in WBAI that you feel like you missed, you can call us. You can call me, and I will make it available to you.
Okay, if nobody else wants to answer that question, this gentleman has.
I'd like to ask an interesting question. Diversity is always discussed among all the candidates. But if we really push strong diversity, what happens to people who speak eloquently for other people, like, for instance, William Lauren Katz, who writes brilliantly about the history of black people, or Grant Al Lewis, who's certainly sympathetic to the plights and agonies of African Americans and other Africans, and people like Robert Knight, who is showing very much great compassion for Caucasian peoples. Will those people be accidentally left out of the equation of the equations for perfect diversity?
Okay, go ahead.
I think we should all be wary of differentiating, you know, whoever who can speak eloquently versus who can't speak eloquently, because we have to recognize that there are systematic state-sponsored obstacles to certain people obtaining higher education. And I would never advocate that somebody who uses a more sophisticated English language vocabulary is somehow more eloquent than someone who doesn't. That's first of all. Second of all, what we are familiar with in terms of eloquent speakers and well-read people, well-educated people, is merely one canon. There is an entire, you know, there are entire narratives that are just ignored that are equally valuable. And diversity, preserving and ensuring diversity, is about bringing all of those narratives, all equally valuable, that they all may be heard. And I really don't believe that we need to speak on behalf of other people. I think it's more important to create a space where people can speak for themselves.
Time. Did you have a particular person you were addressing it to? Okay.
Do I have a mic?
You were addressing it to the whole panel?
Yes.
Okay.
That was for the entire panel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll take one from...
Yes.
Okay.
That was always my problem with the Unity Caucus. The Justice and Unity proposal. How do I represent the Haitian community? What part of the Haitian community do I represent? Do I represent the people I hang out with, I party with? I have a list of like 5,000 names. Do I represent my right wing half part of the family, or do I represent the left wing half part of the family? Does the Latino Cuban represent the entire Spanish community? It's become very confusing. I think Amy Goodman is a very good example of how you can talk about issues relating to different communities. You can bring those guests in. And I'm not talking about you should have all-white, eloquent producers doing those shows, but the gist of diversity should be about the subjects and the guests that are on the shows.
Okay. The woman in the purple. Cranberry. Sorry. Burgundy.
What changes, if any, do you advocate from the balance of power between the general manager, the program director, the program council, and the listeners?
Can you repeat that question, please?
What changes, if any, do you advocate in the balance of power between the general manager, the program director, the program council, and the listeners? By which I mean, do you see that shift in the decision-making power that from what it is now?
Okay, one of you?
I'll answer that. I've been working on these bylaws, the WBI bylaws, that have been adopted for the past three and a half years. And my frustration was this was exactly the issue that was not being discussed. The most important aspect of these bylaws was supposed to be the balance of power between the national board, the local board, the listeners, the program director, the general manager, and the executive director. There are a lot of ambiguous aspects of these bylaws, and people think that's because these are flaws of the bylaws. These were intended. They were intended to be gray areas so that the powers of the general manager goes into the powers of the program director and vice versa. These bylaws, none of the substantive aspects of these bylaws can be changed without the vote of the listeners. And I think also the national board also has to have a strong say in the decision making
time
of important situations.
We have a structure within WBI that's largely, I think, reflects the classical or traditional media structure, radio structure. The program director, the general manager, the program director, we have created various democratic processes for discussion, dialogue, policy decisions internal to that are not management oriented, such as the program council. And of course, we have the local station board, which is in fact to try to create a harmonious bridge, a critical one in fact, but a harmonious bridge that can augment and help to support those processes. I think every organization goes through an evolution depending upon the various conditions. it was once a Marxist perspective that said that internal factors are the basis for change, external factors are the condition for change, which essentially means
time.
We have time for.
We had one from each. Okay, you can take the next one. We have time for one more.
Mitch.
You could have given me a.
It's only, yeah, the 3 minutes for 1 minute is kind of hard, but anyway.
Called Carol Spooner and those of us who filed the lawsuits in order to win listener rights, called us a nest of white supremacists and white extremists, and he called, and he further went on to say that we're trying to prevent black people and people of color from taking over the station. And this is basically your read that you wrote that, right?
Well, then don't ask him now.
How does, since this is about relations among the station, and how do we develop? How do the two different slates here see themselves working life with each other in light of this type of statement?
Okay. Who here wants to take it? You can choose whichever one of you wants to.
The question is,
well, let me respond to it, and he can respond.
Okay,
to
you want
to
do it first?
Sure,
okay.
Why not?
Go ahead.
First of all, friend, as is your tendency, you did not state what I said. I never said that. Okay. Not one word of it, actually. Okay, so please, if you're going to quote me accurately. But I'll answer it anyway. Okay, in fact, what you have in struggle here at WBI Pacifica, and you've had it for many years, but it crystallizes at different periods of time, often during periods of great stress, as we had over the last 3 years with the corporate hijackers. Yes, I agree. I think that Carol Spooner is at the hub of a power struggle in Pacifica. You can read everything she writes. Her husband Gregory Wonderwheel. I mean, they use power. They attack the national office. They support Liz Prague openly many, many times. I think that when you look at the history of people, their practice, not just the notorious emails, but in fact. Their practice, then you'll see what they are, what their real character is.
Okay,
and if I have some time, I can elaborate on that.
Okay, we have no more time. Wait, order. Excuse me. No. We're done with time for this panel. Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. One of you has the time. I'm sorry.
Okay, Muntu Sahid has said that, let me quote, this is a virtually lily white core of liberals and outright white supremacists, while opposed to the broad communities of color having the right to share power at WBI. The Liz Prague slit and Carol Spooner and Berkeley KPFA are the center of this reactionary wing, that's me. They have used every anti-democratic manipulation and scheme to beat back the movement for genuine power sharing. I think this is the problem. This is a narrow view of color, I would call this outright race baiting, not focusing on the issues. What are the issues? The issues are, do we put quotas in the bylaws and say that, you have to have 50% people of color? That's what it is. And that's what a lot of lawyers said, and we're still waiting for any lawyer who can back up the fact that this is not a quota that would bring BAI to the brink of bankruptcy. We have like three lawsuits against us as it is. Is it prudent to have WBI and Pacifica be totally disappeared, or is it prudent to push and do outreach, Amuntu eloquently said, to have people of color? And I praise the Unity Caucus, the Justice and Unity, for having done so much outreach to many different people of color.
That's time. Okay. We're going on to the next question, which sort of relates to this. We're going to have the next panel. So whoever's going to be the two people from the two slates, please come up.
Is there anyone who came late who's from People's Radio or from the Gary Null slate, unnamed slate, convened by Gary Null? No?
Okay.
Okay, following up.
Can people please sit down or at least pay attention while you stand?
Following up directly on the issues that were raised by the audience just in the last round of questions and answers, this question asks, how can inclusion of poor and working class communities of color be ensured? And who is going to go first this time?
Place. So now it's
Justice and Unity will have the first opportunity to answer this question.
Hi, my name is Bob Lederer. I'm running as a staff candidate on the Justice and Unity slate, I've been an anti-racist, anti-imperialist, and queer and AIDS activist for many years, and for the past 13 years I've been a producer of health programs at WBAI, and I'm currently the editor of the folio and the website. And the first thing about inclusion, as was said earlier, the slate that we've put together is an example of inclusion in practice, and it was part of our commitment to ensure that all the communities that the most central communities in the social struggles of our times that have been disenfranchised be represented in the decision making process, and that's how we put together the slate, not based simply on the accidents of birth, but on people's position in social struggles for progressive change. So that's about us as a group of people. As far as the issue that was posed, I would venture that first there has to be a commitment on a political level to the importance of inclusion of working class and poor communities of color. That has to be central to the worldview of the Pacifica Radio Network. It's absolutely part of the mission, and it should be part of the current day reality in which all five signal areas have majority people of color in those areas, and majority of those are in working class people. And WBAI has done a fairly good job with certain gaps and omissions in including in the program schedule people who come out of those communities, who come out of those struggles. I would say there's four basic areas that the board and in fact management and staff have been working in, and the board will need to work in, and those are to look at inclusion in the programming, in the listenership, in the staffing, and in the governance. In terms of programming, that obviously is the center of everything, and that doesn't solely mean shows that are by and for a particular community, although those are vital places to have those voices articulated, but also integrating. Something WBAI does not do so well is to integrate those perspectives and those voices throughout the program day in programs that look at a wide range of issues. In terms of listenership, that flows largely out of what's on the air. People will come right now. There is no Spanish language Latino public affairs show. That is about to happen after months of pressure and struggle by Latino activists, which several of us on this slate supported and were part of. But those listeners aren't going to be there until the programming is there. But then once the programming is there, there needs to be an overlay of outreach, focused outreach, and there is a halftime coordinator now, but his work needs to be supplemented and guided by a committee of this new board to have a strategy for outreach. In terms of the staffing, that requires an aggressive affirmative action program with commitments to really focused outreach when job openings exist, and there is a development director job open, so spread the word right now. and promotion and training from within and from without that prioritizes the most disenfranchised groups. So at the moment, for training, that especially means the need to target and to bring in more women, more young people, and people from certain communities that are underrepresented at BAI at the moment, Latinos and Asians in particular, but not limited to them. And finally, in terms of governance, this goes back to the proposal that some of us who started the Justice and Unity Slate have been advocating for more than 2 years, which is some guaranteed inclusion at the table of decisions at the local board and the national board. We were defeated by people like some of the people on the List Prog Slate and their allies around the network by a really concerted campaign that claimed that this was identity politics and that it posed legal issues, but those were really not the real issues. It is about power sharing and prioritizing the leadership of communities of color, of women, of lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgendered, and of people with disability.
I will repeat the question for you. Okay. How can inclusion of poor and working class communities of color be ensured?
Good evening. My name is Diane DeVoe. I'm a retired librarian and media specialist. My flyer is there so you can get my full biography. I will let you know, though, that I am the local coordinator for United New York Black Radical Congress. I'm going to talk about inclusion, and I'm going to divide it into three sections. First of all, we're going to define what an African American is, because I think that's kind of a fuzzy issue. What true diversity is. And my last statement, my last area is power concedes nothing. First of all, you can't just come here or present yourself as a person who may have some African blood and represent the African American community. Because being an African American in the United States and the racism that we suffered and continue to suffer has nothing to do with skin color. It's about creating a group of people who will be forever subject to the power structure and who will never rise above an area of subjugation. Okay? And I speak as somebody whose family came straight off a plantation, so I know about oppression. And, by the way, in every job I've had, I've always had to struggle. I've worked for the New York City Board of Education and CUNY, extremely racist institutions. I've always struggled. And it really did me no good. I could have gone much higher or had a much easier time, but I just cannot abide racism and people being racist towards me. And I have to be able to look at myself in the mirror at night. They will always bring to you, the master will always find, if you complain about racism, he is always going to find a Negro who will say, I love this master. I have no problem with him. And I don't know what's wrong with her. She's difficult. True diversity. I spoke to somebody in my building who is for another slate, is not a candidate, but was for another slate. So because they're diverse, they have African Americans on their slate. Well, true diversity is not just African Americans or people of African descent. We are young on our slate. We are old, like me. We have the only slate with people under the age of 20. We are gay. We are straight, we are Asian, and that's not a broad definition of Asian. We are South Asian, we are Chinese. Okay? We are Hispanic, we are Latino, and we're Latino from a Latino diaspora. We are from Panama, we're from Puerto Rico, we're from Cuba. Ecuador, Colombia. We are truly diverse. Okay, my last is power concedes nothing. And what's happening at WBAI is a microcosm of what's happening in New York City. I'm 56 years old. I grew up in New York City. This is not the New York City of my youth. This is not the New York...
1 minute.
Oh, sorry.
So 1 minute.
Okay, 1 minute. Okay. There are people here who have been in power. They don't want to give up power. They don't want to share power. They're happy to have an African-American or an Asian working next to them as long as that person knows their place. Certainly we'll give you a job here as long as you espouse whatever my philosophy is, you allow me to be the intellectual leader. I found that whites have a problem listening or viewing or seeing something that is from another experience if it doesn't relate to them. Whereas as an African American, most of what I see on TV and listen to on the radio reflects the dominant culture, does not reflect me. And my last statement that I want to make, or the last thing that I want to say, is that I think WBAI is more relevant now than ever. Okay.
Okay, now we'll hear from the List Prague slate, and I'll repeat the question. How can inclusion of poor and working class communities of color be ensured?
Hi, my name is Chris Farrell. I'm running as a candidate on the Listeners and Staff for Progressive Elections. That's List Prague. You can find my biography online at www.list-prague.org. But I want to spend all the time I have speaking about the question because I think it's a fascinating one. It's interesting that it says, how can inclusion of poor and working class communities of color be ensured? And it's fascinating. It's certainly an understandable human desire that we wish we could ensure these types of things, that we wish that we could ensure that fairness and equity, that some system could be designed that would ensure that those values would prevail. But I think our unfortunate experience is that it's very easy to define a system that ensures that poor and working class people will be shut out. But in fact, it's impossible to design a system that will ensure that they are included. The only way that you can have inclusion is to fight for it continually, and to fight for it in the streets. And so the idea that the focus of delivering diversity at WBAI or Pacifica could be done by crafting the proper set of bylaws to do it, I think was misguided. We certainly want the best system that we can design, but we have to design it with the knowledge that the work is incomplete, and the work is the work that we have to do. We've heard many people here speak about the need for outreach, but if you look at the record of WBAI over the last 5 or 10 years, they have a lousy record of outreach. And some of the people who are running on the Justice and Unity slate have long tenures at WBAI when the station failed to do the kind of outreach which is imperative to include the poor and working class communities which they have crafted a slate to try to represent. So, for example, the local advisory board, which was self-selecting and could put on the board whoever they wanted to, froze their membership and said, we will take no more members on there. And they did that at a time when there were no out people from the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community. And yet two of the people that were on the local advisory board when they did that are now running and saying, we're all about outreach and we're all about inclusion. So I think that the idea that if we elect a diverse slate of candidates, we have guaranteed inclusion is one that history demonstrates will not prevail. And so we really need to find people who are interested in bringing every listener involved in the life and work of the station. That's that commitment to inclusion, that commitment to doing work that will provide inclusion is the way to go about it, not to pretend that we can design a system that will guarantee this and then we can relax. The work is always going to be hard. The work is always going to be there, but that's not a reason to avoid doing it. And so I'm running with List Prague because I have found that the people I've worked with in List Prague do have a commitment to making sure that every listener has access to the station. They can work in the station at whatever level they feel is appropriate for them. WBAI should be running with hundreds of volunteers who represent all communities. Not a single representative of a community, but people who are at the station every day bringing the needs of that community alive in their work and their relationship with the station. That's my vision for a system that tries to accomplish rather than ensure inclusion of poor and working class communities at the station.
For the other member of the List Prague slate, how can inclusion of poor and working class communities of color be ensured?
I'm from Haiti, if you guys do not know it. And in Haiti, I'm 41 years old. For the past 40 years, I've witnessed black leaders, mulatto leaders, stomping on the neck of black, poor, working class. So, I have a very hard time trying to put this in terms of color. You know, to me, it's all about the power struggle between the working class and those who own the means of production and those who own the power. Not to say that I am blind to the idea of racism in America. I have suffered racism. I've suffered racism in Canada as a kid. I suffered racism at work. I'm not one of those niggers who says I love anything the white man does. As a matter of fact, I pride myself in being, I think I'm one of the leaders of LISPROG. I was one of the leaders of the elections committee that fought to bring about these elections. For the past 20-something years, WBAI has been led by mostly black people. You know, the general manager, the program director. Why is it that WBAI is not diverse? Okay? And I'm talking about progressive black people. The local station board was at least 80% black, with all kinds of progressive. They were composed of activists in the peace movement, activists for the gay and disabled rights. The local board was diverse, and I believe that to be on the local station board, you have to be, first of all, the business of WBAI should be your first and foremost responsibility. Okay, the producer's job and the direction you give the station should be to do the outreach. There's no fiscal responsibility, no transparency, no proper governance, unfair labor practices, black women, black men, white women being fired or disappeared at the station with no reason, no explanation. And I dare say that members of the Justice and Unity group, not all of them, have been supportive of those in power who are perpetrating those acts. And I think it's interesting to see the Justice and Unity talking about changes. At WBAI, there's no access to for the listeners for anything.
1 minute.
There, no one has access to WBAI. You have to know someone. You have to be connected. You have to go out of your way to beg to try to get shows at the station. WBAI, within the past 2.5 years, has increased its paid producers by over 17 people, double what it had before. And it's funny that WBAI is in the red by about the salaries of that much. WBAI should be a culture of volunteerism, okay? And then the paid staff should be respected. Now, how does that relate to inclusion of poor and working class communities? Obviously, if you don't have your act together, how are you going to project transparency and fair labor practices outside? We're still facing the same thing everybody else is facing since the eras of Marx and Engels. How do we engage? How do we empower the proletariat? And it's a difficult question.
Okay, I'll open it up again for 10 minutes of questions, and this time Merle will choose the people who will speak.
20 minutes on this rather than going on to the third panel, because we're not going to have time for the third panel. We have a little extra time. I'm going to try to,